Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the Monday, January 25th market recap. And as you can see via the table of contents at the top, this update is divided into three sections. Number one, administrative comments. Number two, general market analysis, which, by the way, is going to be very easy, guys, because it's very clear tonight. And number three, watch list comments. So let's go ahead and get started. Again, those of you who might be new to this website, each corresponding chart below has a number to the left-hand side so that you can easily follow along. But let's talk about the administration comments. Number one, the Breakpoint Trade Store is now back online. A couple weeks ago, we launched a Breakpoint Trade Store where we offered TradeStation code to run our mechanical systems, our moving average and pivot systems, and we had 30 slots a couple weeks ago, and we relaunched it today. There's also some custom indicators available now. But again, I will talk about this in a separate update later tonight. Okay. But again, if you're logged into the website, there's a link to the Breakpoint Trade Store, and you can just click on that. But again, I'll have a separate update on that. So let's go ahead and move on to number two, the general market analysis. Today was a know-nothing day for the market. The market, you know, was a consolidation day. The market just chopped around, and the indexes all closed up about anywhere from 0.3 to 0.4%. The NASDAQ, NDX, Dow, and S&P. So really a know-nothing day. However, guys, when I look at the intraday charts, the 15 and 30-minute charts, to me, today's minor bounce appears to be some kind of wave four. And so I favor a move to the downside tomorrow based on the way the charts look. It looks like we need at least another move down, another push down to set up some divergence and to set up another low for a better bounce. And so let's go through the charts and I'll show you what I mean. Chart number one is a daily chart of the S&P 500. As you can see, and as we talked about over the weekend, the S&P broke the rising wedge to the downside last Thursday. And, you know, the rising wedge of the uptrend line from the July lows. And it's had a really strong sell-off. And as you can see, the Arun oscillator to top, which has kept you in the majority of the uptrend from the March 2009 lows, also went on a sell signal last week. So that's number one. But if you look at this chart here, you can see that there's a little bit of support just below where you can draw an uptrend line from the August 2009 lows. And so it looks like we just need to go a little bit lower to hit that support zone. So I would favor another little move down to hit that zone, and maybe we get a better bounce off of there. But otherwise, on a bigger picture, you know, the charts are looking more toppy. The 60-period stochastics below, crossed below 80%, and the Arun crossed. So it's possible that some kind of, you know, intermediate top at least has been put into place. Okay, but it looks like in the short term we have a little bit more to go down. And we are positioned short on our watch list, by the way, and I will talk about that below. Chart number two is just a 60-minute chart of the S&P 500 and shows you the same as the chart above. You can see there's a support zone below. We're not to it yet, so I would favor a move lower to get to that support zone, you know, in the lower 1080 area, and then maybe we bounce off of that area. Okay, so pretty clear. Now, moving on, chart number three is a 15-minute chart of the S&P 500. And you can see we have a downtrend channel here, and we have a series of wave counts on here. And, you know, don't get too bogged down about all the wave counts in here, but if you just know a little bit of generic Elliott wave count, you know that a five-wave downtrend, and today's bounce here just looks like a wave four. It looks like we need another move down to set up a fifth wave low. And you can see we clearly don't have a fifth wave. Last week's low appears to be some kind of third wave. So it looks like we need another move lower to make a fifth wave low. You can see the MACD action stopped at zero. And so to me it looks like if the market were to make a new low here on this 15-minute chart, that would set up some positive divergence via the MACD. Okay, then I think we could possibly get a better bounce. Take a look at the 60-period stochastics at the bottom. Notice how it's been below 20% for over 3 days now. And so if that goes back above 20% in the next day or two, then that could give you your signal for a bounce. Okay. Actually, it's 144 stochastics. I'm sorry. 144 stochastics is about 10 times slowed down versus the 14.3 stochastics. It's also a Fibonacci number. But again, in short, it looks like we need another move down, and I favor that. Chart number 4 is another 15-minute chart of the S&P 500, and again, it basically is the same wave counts. You know, it basically says that we need another low here before we have a bounce. And futures are down tonight, so it looks like that's probably going to play out. Chart number 5 is a 15-minute chart of the Dow Jones, and again, the same wave count. It looks like today's move was a wave 4, and we need another move lower. So, pretty simple there, guys. Chart number 6 is a 30-minute chart of the S&P 500. And again, you know, last week we broke that 1130 support area. That was the trigger to go short on the market. And this strong sell-off is, again, appears to be some kind of wave 3. So I favor that today's bounce is a wave 4, and we need one more low to make some kind of 5, fifth wave low, which will put in a better bounce. Okay. So that's in short for the indexes, guys, short and simple. Now, here's a couple interesting charts. I posted these on the Trading Community blog. Chart number 7 is a daily chart of the S&P 500. You can see at the top, and the VIX with Bollinger Bands just below. It's a very neat chart. Notice how whenever the VIX closes outside of the Bollinger Bands and then goes back inside the Bollinger Bands, it gives you very good buy or sell signals. You know, if you need to pause this audio, go ahead and you can study the chart. It's almost like a little mechanical system. It doesn't tell you how long the buy or sell signal will work, but you almost always get a trade out of it. Notice the sell signals you had back in June and July when the VIX closed below the Bollinger Bands and then came back inside. Notice the buy signals you had in August, September, October, and November when the VIX closed just outside the Bollinger Bands, on the outside upper portion, and then closed back in. That gave you a buy signal. Notice how well those buy signals were on the S&P 500. Last week, the VIX, you can see, closed below the lower Bollinger Bands, and once it went back inside, that was a sell signal. And you can see the arrow at the top, that was an awesome sell signal on the S&P 500. That was actually up around 1140, so that was awesome. So now what we would look for here is a move back inside the Bollinger Bands. Not intraday, but, you know, around the close of the day or pretty close. You know, if you're it's near the close of the day and the VIX is back inside the Bollinger Bands, that would be a buy signal for the market. Again, it doesn't tell you how far the buy signal would go. You know, maybe it's only a couple days. Maybe it's a day. Maybe, you know, again, maybe it's just a few days. But that's something to watch for here going forward. You can see the VIX today bounced, found support on the upper portion of the Bollinger Band again. So what to watch for is the VIX to go back inside the Bollinger Band and be inside the Bollinger Band, you know, toward the end of the day to make sure that it actually closes into there. And that would be a short-term buy signal in the market. And again, that would make sense because via my charts above, it looks like the market will probably have another move down, but then once it sets up a fifth wave, then we'll maybe have a better bounce that'll last a couple days. And so it'll at least give you a short-term long trade. So that's what I'm looking at, guys. Nice little system chart here. Chart number 8 is the same chart, but with the in place of the VIX, I put the SSO Ultra Long S&P 500 ETF so that you can see prices, etc. And you can see, again, it works very well. Chart number 9 is a 60-minute chart of the SDS. This is the Ultra Short S&P 500 ETF. This is also on our watch list, or we're long the SDS on our watch list. And as you can see on here, it looks like it needs another move up higher for a fifth wave. So that, you know, basically validates all the charts above. So that does it for the general market analysis, guys. And let's just quickly look at the U.S. dollar and gold stocks. Chart number 11 is a 240-minute chart of the U.S. dollar. And as you can see, the dollar is kind of a mere opposite of the market. It looks like the consolidation here was a wave 4, and it looks like it needs a move up higher in a wave 5. So that's a little bull wedge there, triangle. And so I think the dollar's going higher from here, and that'll probably, you know, cause gold to go lower once again and etc., just as I talked about on a weekend newsletter. Chart number 11 is a 60-minute chart of the GDX. I had a few questions on the blog about this today. Again, I'm not a buyer of gold stocks or GDX, you know, unless I would see something here. What I would watch is the 60-period stochastics at the below, if it crosses above 20%, or the ratio, the GDX-GLD ratio. It needs to break that trend line. But, you know, if the dollar's going to go up here, then gold stocks are going to remain weak. Gold stocks topped out back on the 11th, and that was a pretty good top, as you can see. Don't buy them too early. And again, anyway, so that does it with the gold analysis. Nothing's really changed today. It remains the same as my weekend commodity newsletter. And the last section of this update is the watch list. And talk about some watch list trades. And that starts with chart number 12. As you know, we are nicely positioned short. We have quite a few ultra short or bear ETFs on the watch list. EWW is one of them. That's the Mexican ETF, and we're short this. It broke the wedge last week. And again, you know, if you want to, depends on where you want to put your stop. If you want to put it up there around 50 and give it a lot of room, or if you want to take a little bit profits, you know, here, take half off. There you go. But otherwise, the pattern is playing out. Chart number 13 is SDS. This is also on our watch list from last week. It had a resistance at 34. It broke out last week. Had an initial nice move up to over 36 last Friday, so had a very good move up. Again, you could have taken some profits if you wanted to, but I think it's probably going to have at least one more little move up here, you know, via my market analysis above, where I stated that the market looks like it needs another low, and so the SDS should move a little bit higher. Again, this is on a watch list. Decide how you want to trade this one. We have both the SDS, which is the 2x long, and the SH, which is the 1x bear ETF. So what you could do is just trade the SDS, treat it more as a short-term trade since it's leveraged. And if you want to give the short more room, keep your SH, give that one more room since it's only 1x short. And that's chart number 14 is SH. Again, it's the same. It's a bear ETF for the S&P 500, just like the SDS, but it's a 1x ETF. So this is one that we are giving plenty of room for, and it looks good. There's resistance on this chart at the downtrend line above. You can see there's like a downtrend channel. So we'll probably tag that tomorrow, I imagine. Chart number 15, PSQ, that's also on the watch list. Same comments apply. And chart number 16 is the bullish percent transports. This is also on our watch list, but remember, this is a mechanical system for trading IYT, which is the transports ETF. And congratulations to anyone who took IYT short on January 8th or 9th when this gave a signal. And as far as a stop, guys, it's very easy. Your stop is simply the next Renko buy signal, okay, which will either be the CCI going back over negative 100. You can see I have it circled there in red at the top, or the Renko candlesticks going back on a buy signal. Now, here's the beauty of this system, guys. It's an end-of-day system. The Renko charts, or the bullish percent charts, don't update until after the market closes. And so literally, you won't get your signal until after the market's closed. So once you get your buy signal, which will be at night, then you would take the trade, or you would reverse your trade the next morning. So that's how it works. So those of you who work jobs, you know, and you don't have time to watch the market during the day, this one was a great setup for you because there's not much to do. You only need to check it at night. Lastly, the charts below, here's just a few long setups. Again, I know the market, as I stated, I think the market has more downside here. But because the market, I think, has a little bit more downside before it bounces, I don't really have a lot of good short setups because I think, you know, the market's going to go down a little bit lower and then put in a bounce. And so here's some longs to watch if the market starts to, you know, when the market does bounce and start to bounce and, you know, puts in a little better bounce. RMD, a little ascending triangle, resistance is 53.40 to 53.50. On this one, you could have a very tight stop around 52 or 52.25. So you know, you're not risking too much. The target's only about 56, however. The pattern doesn't measure that high, but you can have a pretty tight stop on that one. Again, make sure volume is good. Chart number 18 is SBGI. Clear resistance at 530. Again, the pattern measures to about 650, which is a huge percentage. But as far as a stop, you know, I'm going to leave that up to you, because technically if you want to give this room, you'd have to put a stop all the way around 470 or so, which is about 11%. I don't like putting stops or stocks in a watch list with 11% stop losses. To me, that's too much, or at least for me personally, I don't like that. So I'll view this one, or I'll give this to you as more of a trade idea for those of you who are aggressive and you can manage trades. If you cannot do that, if you need more guidance, then pass on it, okay? Chart number 19, TQNT, you know, a little semiconductor. Maybe it tries to fill that gap. If it breaks over 650, that's the resistance. So, you know, again, treat it as a trade idea, guys. I'm not going to set a stop for this. It's just a trade idea. If you work a job and you need a stop suggested, then pass on it. And lastly, chart number 20, UTSI, is a little stock. It has a really long base of about 250, 255, going all the way back to 2008. What I like about it is the long base. And if it can take out that resistance on strong volume, then it has the potential to go up to some of the next resistance areas, up around 3 and 350, and maybe even higher. So, you know, a percentage move could be pretty good. But here's the thing. You would have to have an initial stop if you tried to swing trade this all the way down around $2. And again, that's a huge percentage for a stop. That's about 20%. Again, I don't, you know, that's not something I would put on a watch list. I would never put something where we'd have to have 20% stop loss. My watch list trades, I like them, tend to be around the 3, anywhere from the 2 to 5% stop range at most. But I do like to throw trade ideas out that I don't need to suggest initial stops. Again, for those of you who are fast day traders, who are nimble, who can manage your own trades without the extra assistance, that's why I throw these out. If you're not one of those people and you need the extra handholding, then you can pass on this one. One other comment on this one is that, again, it's a low price stock. You know, it's a $2 stock for a reason, guys. So that means there's something wrong with it, probably. So that means if you do this, keep position sizes small relative to your total portfolio. What I mean is, if you put in, let's say, $50,000 in a $50 stock, don't put in $50,000 in UTSI. You know, cut it way down. Don't go extra shares, go extra heavy just because it's small. It's small for a reason. So that does it, guys. Again, just recap. The BP Breakpoint Trade Store is now online. There'll be more details following that. And as far as the market analysis, it looks pretty simple. It looks like we have a little bit more downside here to complete some kind of fifth wave. Then maybe we'll put in a better bounce. That does it. Talk to you later. Have a great evening.